Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, October 22nd, I think it is. We begin with an article written by Huey Freeman, an H&R staff writer. Child pornographer gets 50-year prison term. Gerald Long, a 25-year-old Decatur man who was convicted by a jury of two counts of child pornography, was sentenced Tuesday to serve two consecutive sentences of 25 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. During a three-day trial that ended August 26th, jurors convicted Long of photographing a child younger than 13, lewdly exposing her breasts during two incidents that occurred in February 2013. Long was originally also charged with possession of videos of children 8 to 12 years old engaged in sexual activity with each other. At the sentencing hearing, a victim's impact statement was read by one victim's child advocate, Amanda Havener, as she stood at the state's counsel table. "I am 12 years old, and this is how the defendant's actions have affected my life," Havener read to the courtroom before Associate Judge Thomas E. Little handed down the sentence. "I shouldn't have to worry about people I have known or friends hurting me or affecting my life." The adolescent girl's statement said she went through counseling for a while beginning in 2013. "Once the investigation started, my grades started dropping and I became very suicidal. I didn't feel like there was any point to live anymore." During the trial, the girl experienced depression from seeing the defendant's face, anger from having to go through the entire ordeal, and hope that, quote, "I did my job and did it correctly," end quote, she wrote in her statement. At the sentencing hearing, Decatur Police Detective Doug Allen testified that a 13-year-old girl told him during an interview that she had sex with the defendant. Long, who was 22 years old at that time, was charged with aggravated criminal sexual abuse in a separate 2012 case. That case was dismissed by the state Tuesday. As part of his sentence in the child pornography case, Long was ordered to register as a sexual predator for the rest of his life. With credit for time served in jail since March 9, 2013, and 50% of the sentence to be served if he demonstrates good behavior, Long will be eligible for parole in 2038. The sentence secures justice as well as safety for the community, Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Kate Kurtz, the prosecutor in the case, said. "It is a well-deserved sentence based on the nature of the crime he was convicted of and the evidence in aggravation," the judge Little heard. Also by Huey Freeman, woman robbed of $120 at ATM early Sunday. A 31-year-old woman was withdrawing money from an ATM in the parking lot of a near Northside liquor store at about 2:30 a.m. Sunday when she was approached by an unknown man. As the transaction was being processed, the man verbally hurled an expletive at her and ordered her to give him the money. She grabbed the six $20 bills as the ATM dispensed them. The man then began punching and kicking her on her face and body, she later told police, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Tucker Toole. He reportedly struck her with a closed fist about six or seven times. She threw the money toward him and told him to take it. After the robber scooped up the bills from the ground, he took off running west on East Grand Avenue from the lot of JB's Liquor at 1301 North Calhoun Street. The victim flagged down a police squad car a few blocks east of the scene on North Lober Street. She was bleeding from her mouth and her face was reddened. She told police the suspect was a male in his 40s, wearing an eye patch over one eye, wearing black clothes. A few minutes later, a suspect matching that description was seen by officers in a parking lot at the corner of Grand Avenue and North Water Street. The suspect was identified as Eric D. Curry, 44, Toole wrote in a statement. Herrick had on his person $123.66, Eric had six $20 bills in his possession. When the victim was shown the suspect in custody, she told police she was 100% positive that Eric was the suspect that robbed her. When questioned by police, Curry denied taking the money or being on the lot of 1301 North Calhoun. He was booked into Macon County Jail, where he's being held on $60,000 bond. Curry was arraigned Wednesday on one count of robbery, a Class 2 felony punishable by 3 to 7 years in prison. Curry, who also goes by the name Reggie Jackson and Eric Jarrett, is due in court for his preliminary hearing November 4th. Our next article was written by Tony Reed, who's also an H&R staff writer. Money laundering suspect arrested after traffic stop. A suspected drug courier and money launderer is being held in the Macon County Jail after Macon County Sheriff's deputies pulled him over Monday and allege he was in possession of more than 50 MasterCard gift cards containing other people's account information. Detective said this type of gift card has become the means of choice for drug couriers to wash illegal money and move it in and out of the country. They said the 38-year-old suspect, stopped as he drove past Decatur on Interstate 72, is not a U.S. citizen and has strong ties to Cuba. He was jailed on preliminary charges of possession of another's credit, debit, or identification card. Police said they have called in assistance from the U.S. Secret Service to research the suspect's background and have requested search warrants for two cell phones and a GPS device seized from his vehicle. Explaining how the suspect was pulled over in sworn statements, Sheriff's Detective T.W. Hoke said he had been stopped in the morning after allegedly speeding through a 55-mile-per-hour construction zone at 64 miles per hour while not wearing a seatbelt. The suspect told police he had flown from Miami to Chicago and had rented a car to go to Springfield to meet a friend before flying back to Miami. He denied ever being in Decatur, although information showing he dined at a Northside restaurant on Sunday was later found in his car, deputies said. Hoke said the suspect's story was suspicious, and a drug dog brought to the scene detected cannabis odors coming from his vehicle. A subsequent search found the suspect had three different wallets stuffed with 19 of the MasterCard gift cards, and another 32 were found concealed in the backs of both front seats. Detectives believe that the cards in the suspect's possession were being utilized for criminal activity, Hoke wrote in a sworn statement. It is known that drug couriers are currently using debit or gift cards to launder money. They have found that it is easier to transfer and transport cards, and the fact that customs does not require documentation of currency on cards over $10,000. With Secret Service help, Hoke said 19 of the cards the suspect was carrying and have been found to be recoded with account information from 19 different people without their permission. The suspect denied owning or knowing anything about any of the cards found on him or his vehicle. He is being held in lieu of posting $100,000 bail and is due in court next Tuesday. We're back to Huey Freeman writing an article with the headline, Trio Allegedly Exchanged Counterfeit $100 Bills for Actual Money. Melissa L. Roberts, a 31-year-old former convenience store employee, was arrested Tuesday on preliminary charges of forgery for allegedly conspiring with two men to exchange counterfeit $100 bills for genuine currency. Stephen L. Taylor, 52, and Aaron Wilder Bay, 36, were previously arrested in connection with the case. Taylor and Wilder Bay each entered the Quick Shop 66 at 1310 North Water Street shortly after midnight on September 13th. Within 15 minutes of each other, between 12:01 and 12:20 a.m., Roberts accepted fake $100 bills from each man, said an affidavit by Decatur Police Detective Barry Hitchens. Surveillance video footage showed that the two men arrived at the store in the same vehicle, the affidavit said. The video clearly shows that both suspects passed what were, quote, determined to be counterfeit bills to Melissa Roberts, end quotes. She did not appear to scrutinize the bills or hesitate to accept them. Roberts exchanged the bills for currency, quote, in denominations that would allow for the amount to be clearly halved, end quote. After the exchanges were made, Taylor and Wilder Bay each walked directly to the women's restroom. Within a minute after each suspect left the restroom, Roberts entered the room. When Wilder Bay was taken into custody, he explained why the men used the ladies' room. Wilder Bay admitted to police that he passed the bill that he knew to be counterfeit. He said Taylor urged him to exchange the bill for U.S. currency. Taylor told him the store employee would exchange the bills if she received half the money. Wilder Bay said Taylor told him to place half the money under a garbage can in the ladies' room after popping it off, slang for exchanging it for genuine money. Wilder Bay stated that he did this, Hitchens wrote in his statement. Taylor, who's being held in jail on $20,000 bond, entered a not guilty plea to two felony counts of forgery in Macon County Circuit Court on Wednesday. He is due in court for a plea hearing on Friday. Wilder Bay, who is also charged with two counts of forgery, is free on bond pending his arraignment November 6th. Roberts is being held in jail on $10,000 bond. If she remains in custody, she will be arraigned by Wednesday. Our next article was written by Chris Luzvardi, who's also an H&R staff writer. The headline reads, Richland President Saunders to retire in spring. Gail Saunders is hoping to leave Richland Community College in a place where it can be successful even after she moves on from her position in the spring. Saunders announced Wednesday plans to retire after 15 years as Richland's president. She started the job as the college's sixth president in August 2001 and has worked 40 years as an administrator in higher education, including 33 years in Illinois Community College Administration. I'm confident and hopeful the college is the best it's ever been, said Saunders, who is a native of Harvard, Illinois. I determined it is a good time to step away. We've had an electrifying way the semester has started, and the college is going to be good heading into the future. The decision is one Saunders and her husband Rich have been contemplating and one they feel is best to allow them to spend more time with family. Saunders is looking forward to welcoming three new grandchildren within the next year, in addition to the two grandchildren they already have. Saunders plans to spend more time in Florida, but she will remain tied into what is happening in Decatur. It has been a community that Saunders has grown to care deeply for, as it has shown its perseverance over her time as Parkland's president. This community will always bounce back, Saunders said. It thrives in spite of itself. It is an amazing, resilient community. Richland has helped by responding to the needs of businesses within the community under Saunders' leadership, Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said. It is well positioned to respond in any way needed to move the community forward, Moore Wolf said. Richland has had an explosion of growth. She has set the bar high. Moore Wolf is grateful Saunders never decided to take another job over the past 15 years. Saunders said the support of the community and college board of trustees has helped her decide to stay when she considered other possibilities. The board appreciates what Saunders has done for the college, Chairman Bruce Campbell said. She has been a dynamic individual within the community, Campbell said. The entire board has been extremely supportive of her efforts. In many ways, it will be a loss to the community as a whole. Saunders' leadership has put the college in a position to succeed, Campbell said. Numerous building projects have been completed during her tenure, including the addition of a culinary arts institute with restaurant, workforce development institute, and National Sequestration Education Center. Other additions include the Scherer Industrial Technology Center, Schrott Health Education Center, Duane O. Andreas Agribusiness Education Center, Adele P. Glenn Early Childhood Education Center, the Center for Sustainability and Innovation, and Mathematics Enrichment Center. Additionally, Heartland Technical Academy relocated to the Richland campus in 2014. Richland became one of the permanent hosts for the Farm Progress Show in 2005. The show continues to grow after being in Decatur 6 times with a $1 million expansion of Progress City, USA recently completed, Saunders said. It has exceeded expectations, she said. It is everything we dreamed it would become as a recognition for Decatur to solidify its place as the global agribusiness capital. Farm Progress Show manager Matt Jungman has seen incredible growth at Richland while he's been involved with the Decatur community. It's not just the Farm Progress Show, Jungman said. It's all the other initiatives. None of these things happen without tremendous leadership and setting the tone for growth. Jungman notices changes coming back to Richland every other year. I've got to be reintroduced to the campus, Jungman said. The one regret Saunders has, it now appears likely she won't be around for the opening of the Student Success Center, which is intended to bring a variety of student services under one roof. Completion of the project is dependent on funding from the state, Saunders said. It will be there, Saunders said. It's a matter of when the budget gets passed and when the funding will be released. Work on the Student Success Center was originally scheduled to be completed in the spring, but further construction is now on hold. If the project appeared closer to completion, Saunders said it could have influenced the timing of when she steps away. But it's too uncertain for her to continue waiting any longer. The project will allow the next president to have a new office, she said. Campbell said the board plans to meet Monday to discuss the search process. He said Saunders is working with them to allow time for the process to at least get started before she leaves. Saunders has set a strong foundation for the next president, despite uncertainty from the state budget situation, Campbell said. He said choosing a president is one of the most important decisions a community college board can make. Richland will be an attractive option for anyone seeking the position, Campbell said. We will figure out a way to weather the storm. Campbell planned to begin the first steps in the search process Wednesday by contacting possible consultants who would help. Saunders wants to be involved in the transition to the next president, but not so much that it would impede on their ability to make their own footprint. Student trustee Donnie Lewis said Saunders put her heart and soul into Richland with the students in mind. I don't think she can ever really be replaced, Lewis said. She has had such a vision like no one else I've ever met in my life. She has always had time for everybody. Lewis wants the next president to be able to keep Richland on the course it's on and be mindful of students' concerns. Partnership Saunders has helped develop throughout the college have allowed students of all ages to benefit, said Renee Stivers, Partners in Education Director. The program reaches students at the K-12 level and introduces them to career possibilities and what training is needed to start those careers, Stivers said. We can stay current because of the relationship, Stivers said. We can touch the lives of students at a younger age. She has set a vision for us. Richland wouldn't be what it is without what Saunders has done, Moore Wolf said. She has made the college an integral part of the community by responding to the needs of businesses, Moore Wolf said. The campus has evolved, and Richland has become a school of choice for an affordable education. She has made the image desirable. Saunders has also been active in the Decatur community, serving in a number of capacities during the past 15 years. Saunders and other Richland staff members have served on the Workforce Investment Solutions Board as the two entities partner on job training programs, said Robin McCoy, Workforce Investment Solutions Executive Director. That's not always the case across the state, McCoy said. I attribute that to her leadership. Working together is what it's all about. She will be missed, but I'm excited for her. Most recently, Richland has been a part of recruiting Convey Health Solutions to Decatur as it opens a new office and hires more than 300 employees locally, McCoy said. The college is in the middle of a capital campaign to raise funding for its business schools, Saunders said. She says it's reached about 60% of its goal. The addition from a successful capital campaign is one of the reasons Saunders feels confident the college will continue to succeed after she retires. Everything is in place, Saunders said. The board has done a wonderful job leading us as we try to be a part of leading the community in a strong, positive direction. We're turning now to the Decatur Tribune and picking up one piece of Paul Osborne's City Beat. Neighborhood wins battle against rezoning for new Aldi store. A request to rezone parcels at the intersection of Ash Avenue and US 51 to facilitate the development of a new Aldi grocery store was denied by a vote of 4-3 by the Decatur City Council Monday night. Neighbors of the proposed area have been strong in their opposition to rezoning, contending that locating an Aldi store at that location would cause more traffic congestion and create safety issues. They turned out big time for the Monday night meeting, which was held in the Civic Center Theater due to the anticipated size of the crowd. After many comments were made, mostly against rezoning, council members Jerry Dawson, Bill Faber, Lisa Gregory, and Pat McDaniel voted against rezoning, with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and council members Chris Funk and Dana Ray voting for it. Last week in this column, I wrote that if the vote was held at that time, rezoning would lose by a 4-3 vote. I knew that Dawson, Faber, and McDaniel would vote against it, and felt that Dana Ray's vote could go either way. As it turned out, the fourth vote came from someone that many people expected to vote for rezoning, Lisa Gregory. Although she kept quiet about her vote, it was rumored late last week that she had indicated to some homeowners of the area that she would not vote for rezoning. There were a lot of rumors floating around over the many weeks this issue has been the hot topic in Decatur. However, it doesn't make much difference now. Gregory voted against it and actually became the unexpected tiebreaker in the 4-3 vote to reject rezoning for the site. The question now is, will Aldi's find another site in Decatur, move to Forsyth, or simply stay and expand where the store is located on Pershing Road? We have time for this in this first half hour for this quick note in the Tribune. Adopt a dog month at Macon County Control and Care Center. In celebration of October being Adopt a Dog Month, all dogs and their feline friends with an approved application are $25 through the end of October at the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center, 2820 East Parkway Drive in Decatur. There are dozens and dozens of dogs and cats looking for their new homes. The hours are of the center are Monday through Friday, noon, 12 noon to 5 p.m., and Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. So get on down there and see if you can find a new special buddy there at the Animal Control and Care Center, again at 2820 East Parkway Drive in Decatur. Real quick also, the Macon County Health Department will conduct a flu shot clinic at the Senior Center from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. That's today. Oops, you might have missed it. Thursday, October 22nd. Rats. I hope you heard about that before today and that you've gotten that all taken care of for the upcoming flu season. We are out of time for the first half hour of the news from the Decatur area, and we'll return in just a moment. So we hope you'll hang tight and stay with us. We'll be right back.